God, you know, the words that I give you are spirit and life. And as a geek, I translate that as almost life-giving spirit. Fancy word, hendiadis. And it's two terms that you can use to make one whole. And Jesus is saying, the words I speak are spirit and life, or they're life-giving through the Spirit. And so I've said many times before, Psalm 119, my soul melts away for sorrow. Revive me. Give me life according to your word. My soul clings to the dust. Psalm 119:25. Revive me according to your word. So may God, in his great mercy, revive us even this morning as I read this beautiful passage. Please memorize it. Please don't just memorize it out of guilt. This is great. Because when Paul says in verse 11, therefore remember, verses 1 to 10 are a good portion to remember. Here's the application. God not only elected and predestined us in chapter 1, but he elected and predestined us to good works in chapter 2. Right? That's Dini did the scripture memory. For we are his creation, his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God predetermined beforehand, that we should walk in them. Therefore remember. So I always jump ahead of myself. Okay, God predestined you for good works. Therefore, remember the gospel. Do you see the link? How do good works come about? Remembering the gospel. Okay, so Paul prays that they would understand the immeasurable greatness, the power that is at work within them. Let's see what it is again. I preached this last week, but this is just a good reminder. If you're anything like me, you suffer from amnesia. Once you leave here, the world's going to start to bombard you. Once you go to work, the world's going to hammer on you. You know, you're going to want all the world offers you. And so, here's another application. If you want to do good works, hang around Christians who love the gospel and talk about the gospel and pray the gospel and live the gospel. Because the world hates the gospel. The course of this world is contrary to the gospel. Okay, so when we say, forsake not the gathering of the brethren, this is one of the great reasons that God has called us to gather, is to sit under the word, because we're so prone and so easy to forget. It's why God, in chapter 4, raised Christ from the dead, and he plundered his enemies, and he gave gifts to men, and apostles, and prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, teachers like me. Why? So that the body might be equipped for the work of the ministry, so that we might build Christ's spiritual temple through good works. And so when we say, yes, make an effort to get into a church, a gospel preaching, Christ-centered church on Sunday, it's not out of legalism. It's for your own well-being. It's for your life. Some people treat it so lightly. I don't need to go to church. And yet this is God's ordained means, that as I preach the gospel, it's helping us to remember who we were, what Christ did, and who we are in him now. And as we remember, the Spirit takes the gospel and fills us with good works, which demonstrate the power of God at work in us. See how that works? I know that was a big mouthful. And I was thinking, I'm not here just to give you a 3-point sermon. I want to show you how Scripture fits together. Okay? And so often in Scripture, they have indicatives followed by imperatives. And the reason I'm working through chapters 1 through 3 so slowly is because it's full of gospel indicatives. Everybody know what a gospel indicative is? It's a truth statement. It's a reality. This is who you are in Christ. This is the power you have in Christ. You have been created for good works in Christ. That's an indicative statement. God saved you for good works. Chapters 4 through 6, therefore walk in love. Therefore walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Therefore do not walk as the Gentiles do. God enabled you to walk in Christ. Therefore walk. That's why I'm slowing it down in chapter 2. Because chapters 4 through 6 become legalism. Those imperatives, those commands, you will try to do in the flesh. When God never, ever gave us power to do those in the flesh. He gives us the power through the gospel. The Spirit takes the gospel and works in us. And then we walk in love. Even as God loved us in Christ and died for us. Okay? By grace, God's exciting me already. Not because I'm preaching. The Word does this to me. I pray it does it for you. That when you just feel blah, don't run from the Word. Run to the Word. right when you're thirsty. Don't run. It's legalism to run to a well. Wait for the rain to fall on you. You're a bloody idiot. If you're thirsty, run to the well. There's plentiful water there for you, overflowing for you, blood bought for you. Christ died that we might have this beautiful, thirst-slating word. And you were dead, right? Remember what? Remember you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. By the way, this should excite you about the power of the gospel. You were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. Okay? Formerly. We're going to see that next week as well. Here's the past, and then he's going to bring us into the present. Okay? You formerly, you once lived in the passions, in the cravings, in the lusts of our flesh, in that fallen sinful nature. We carried out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Okay, I haven't spent much time on that. Not the fact that we're children by nature, but we're by nature children of wrath. Just let that sink in a little bit. I don't know if I can bring this up or not. Bear with me. I am old school, trying to go new school. And I'm trying to work an iPad out today, okay? So just bear with me. Ah! Can somebody help me with this? Is it going now?
No.
Okay, so let me just see where my things were that I had drawn here. Where did they go? Oh, for crying out loud. Okay, so here's some stuff I drew. Come on, Taki, help me out here. Okay, anyways. Is my AirPlay on? Oh, so much to do. Says it's on. Anyways, that's a distraction, okay?
Don't worry about it.
We're in the sphere. Here, you can try to figure it out while I'm preaching.
I would never do that.
As TJ like dives three aisles to catch it. So in there, there's the sphere. And I have here that we're dead and we're slaves. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Here, you can just navigate it from there. Okay, so here, we're in Adam. Okay, that's the old. Okay, Romans 5:12. You're in Adam by nature. Okay, so remember what? Remember you are dead in sin. That you were slaves to the world, the devil, the flesh, and therefore you walked. Okay, that's a very important word in the book of Ephesians. You walked. It drives me mad when the NIV translates that lives, because you lose all the word plays in the rest of the epistle. You walked in the cravings, the lust, the desire, however you want to translate epithymia, of the flesh. What does my little arrow say? That's your relation to God. Wrath. Sometimes Christians don't think about that very much, but Paul says, therefore remember. Remember that you were once separated from Christ, from the Messiah. You were a child of wrath by nature, but also by deed. You lived. You conducted yourself. It was your way of life. I was a good religious person. Paul says that you conducted yourself in the passions of your flesh, which can also be summed up in religion. Okay? You were a child of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, chapter 1, verse 5, in love he predestined us. Because of God's predestining love, he had mercy on us. And what did that mercy flowing from his love bring about? Regeneration. Right? He made us alive together with Christ, even when we were dead. Okay, he didn't ask you to ask Jesus into his heart. He resuscitated you by the Holy Spirit. Read Ezekiel 37. You were dry, dry bones. You were exceedingly dry bones. Someone prophesied and the Spirit came and he blew over you and he gave you the new heart of Ezekiel 36. You saw Christ for who He was as the Word was preached, and you believed in Him. You were saved by grace through faith. Okay, so remember this. Remember this. Sometimes we just cheapen it so much because we become so familiar with it. And that's the shame of the North American church, is that familiarity breeds what? Contempt. It should breed for us greater devotion and worship. But unfortunately, we just become accustomed with the gospel. And we move on from it. Paul never moved on from it. Galatians 2:20. How did Paul conduct his life? In view of the gospel. Of the one who loved him and gave himself for him. Paul constantly remembered the gospel. If there was one man other than Christ, one sinner in the world who did good works in the New Testament, I think Paul did the most. Why did Paul do the most good works? Because he remembered the gospel. And he would have been maybe a legalist. He maybe probably woke up and he had on his phone, Ryan, a little reminder. Preach the gospel. Cry out to be fed from the gospel. Speak the gospel. Fellowship with other believers in gospel-centered community. Okay, so what I want to do in Ephesians 2:10 is to link here gospel with good works. Okay, and what I want to do is not just say do good works, but I want to give you a bigger reason for why we need to do good works within the scope of redemptive history. When I use that big word redemptive history, Genesis to Revelation, what is the purpose of good works within God's unfolding plan to glorify Himself through a people in Christ Jesus? He glorifies Himself by regenerating a people who shine as lights for His glory. Okay, good works are very important. Okay, so we're saved by grace through faith. And then verse 10 is what we're going to look at. What's the very first word in the English Bible? Four. Ryan's probably reading in Greek. Four. Okay, so when you see a four, what do you do, good Bible student? This, for some of you who are just learning how to read the Bible, when you see a four, what do you do? Yeah, Shale's got the little, you got the arrow. Okay, so it's linking it to verses 8 and 9. Okay, so verse 10 is doing three things in this chapter according to Frank Thielman. It's wrapping up verses 8, 9, and 10. It's showing how one more reason why salvation has to be by grace. It's also fitting a conclusion for chapter or for verses 1 to 10. So it's concluding verses 8, 9, and 10. It's concluding verses 1 to 10. And it's preparing us for chapter 4. Okay, so I'm going to say that again. It's concluding verses 8 to 9, logically. But it's also concluding verses 1 to 10, because there's an inclusio, walked. And it's preparing us for chapter 4. Right? Chapter 4 says you need to walk. And Paul is saying, you can walk. Okay, that's important. He's not just saying, try your hardest. God has saved you for walking. Now walk. I can't. Then you're not a Christian. Because God saves Christians to walk in good works. If you can't walk in good works, what is the implication? When you raised your hand and asked Jesus into your heart, you didn't get saved. Because God equips His people for good works. He's working in them. They are being saved. What does it look like to be being saved? Verses 8, right? For by grace through faith, you are being saved. For by grace through faith, you are walking in good works. See the link? A lot of people will say, I'm saved. And Paul, with James, would say, show me your faith. A lot of people pit James, right? If you're new to the Bible, James is later in the New Testament. He was writing to likely other Jews, and he writes a treatise saying, faith without works is dead. You are justified by works, James says. And a lot of people say, uh-oh, we have a contradiction in Scripture. James is not contradicting Paul. Paul would say the same thing. You are justified by faith, but that faith always produces works. And that's all James is saying. If there's no works, there's no faith. Right? No fruit, no root. Ooh, rhymey. Okay, and that's what Paul's saying here in verse 10. Okay, so verses 8 through 10, there's two pitfalls, two pits we have to be careful of falling into. We need to stay balanced with Scripture. Okay, so we looked at them a little bit last week. Some people will read verses 8, 9, and 10, and they will say, ah, see, you need to be saved by works. No, you're not saved by works. Works flow out of faith. We're not saved by works, we're saved for works. Okay? Did you guys get that working yet? Can I see it? I want to draw for a bit. Are you playing Angry Birds? Okay. There's two ways of seeing how salvation works. Everybody's looking over there. Eyes over here. We have three components. We have faith, justification, works. Okay? And people juggle them and they mix them all up. Okay, so this is what someone like a Catholic would teach. They would say, faith plus works equals justification. Okay, that's what Mormons would teach. Faith plus works equals salvation. That's what a Muslim would believe. Faith plus works equals salvation. Every false religion, even Christians who are not Christians, people who grew up in the church, when you talk to them, they think they need to do good works. Faith plus good works equals salvation. Is that biblical? Okay? What we would say is faith equals salvation plus good works. I didn't take good works out of the mix. Good works are part of that equation. I don't remove anything. All I do is I just move the equal sign or the arrow sign to a different spot. Okay, so I want you to understand, if you've never heard the gospel, please don't think when I'm preaching on Ephesians 2:10 that you are saved by anything other than relying, depending, trusting upon Christ and what He Himself has done alone. However, as Calvin and Luther said, the faith by which we're saved is not alone. Okay? It's not a lonely faith. It's married to good works, produces good works. Thank you, brother. See, I'm trying to figure these things out and impress you, but obviously I haven't, right? Let's try it in this program. It's upside down now, isn't it? Well, I'll draw a new one. Okay, so let me draw this quickly for you. Okay, so here's religion. Oh, we're in red. Okay, so they would say that faith plus works equals justification or salvation. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say what Christianity is this. Faith leads to justification plus good works. Okay, that's all it is. And so works are the evidence that you have been justified. Let me get that quote from Calvin on you. You're going to love it. Martin Luther, let's say, instead says that faith that justifies is a fides viva. Have you ever heard Latin? Fides viva. It's a vibing faith, a living faith. Where did I go again? That yields the fruit of works. Justification is by faith alone, but not by a faith that is alone. Saving faith is not merely a lonely faith having no works following a companion. Calvin says this, that Christ justifies no man without also sanctifying him. Okay, so I want to say all that to say this, that you're saved by faith alone, but that faith by which you're saved is not alone. You guys got that? It's a living faith. It's a working faith. It's a couple guys at the door if somebody wants to tell them that they have to sit in the sanctuary, though, for our kids' sake. Okay, so let me go back here. Remember the gospel. Remember you were dead in sin. Remember you were slave to the world. You're slave to Satan. You're slave to yourself. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved you, He gave you new life. And what He did, basically, is He transferred you, come on, from there to there. This is grace. He made you alive together with Christ. You were dead, now you're alive. You were slaves, now you're free. You're free from the world, the devil, and the flesh. You're raised with Christ, and now you are to walk in good works. Why? Because that's the purpose of God in creation. Okay, so I'm not going to draw it now. I forgot my pen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Okay? In the beginning, God created what? All things, the heavens and the earth. And behold, all things were good. God created man to multiply, fill the earth, and to do good works. Not good works for good works' sake only, but to do good works for what reason? To bring glory to himself. Okay? I want you to walk the way I walk. I want you to imitate me. Rod, like that. That we are to, as it were, mimic God. That we are to be his ambassadors. That we are to be his delegation that goes out into the world. And we are to do good works and display the glory of God at work in our lives. Okay? That was God's intended purpose when he created in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. What happened in Genesis 3? We fell. We tripped. Okay, remember when we're talking with unbelievers, like, what? We fell? Why didn't we just get back up? Okay, so we have to be careful because that's very churchy language. But it's true. We fell or we sinned. We became marred and broken and distorted. And we have now a fallen or a marred and broken and distorted image. So when sin came into the world, God's good creation became God's marred creation, including Adam and Eve. Okay, so here's language. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, God recreated us for good works. It's not like it's a plan B, right? In Genesis 1, 2, and 3, he created all things to display his glory as they did good works in his name. The problem is sin entered into the world and it kept us from doing. Rather than walking in good works, now we walk in what? The passions of our flesh. Isn't that what he says? We walked, right? We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And what's the result? We walked in them. We walked, we followed the course or the path or the ruts that were passed down to us from Adam. And so what did God have to do to get us from here to here? He had to bring Christ in, who lived a perfect life, who walked on the earth perfectly, who was full of good works, who was full of good deeds, who represented God perfectly because we couldn't. He did not fall short of the glory of God like we did. And the gospel says that when we believe in Christ by grace, we're put back into God's original intention for us. God created man that he would walk in good works. Can man outside of Christ walk in good works? He can't. He's stuck in this circle here and he can't get out. So this is what grace does. It not only saves us, grace enables us now to walk in this circle here. This is God's purpose for us. Okay, it's not just to sit around and talk about theology. That can be good. But he saved us to do good works. Most commentators say that's just sort of basically saying God saved us to have a lifestyle of holiness, a lifestyle of love, a lifestyle of grace, a lifestyle of helping others, a lifestyle of worship, which we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 4 to 6. But that's why God saved us. So I want to ask you this morning, are you just a head Christian? Or are you a Christian who actually walks in good works? Because he could have said, for God created you to think about the gospel. That's not bad, but God ultimately created us to walk in good works, which requires thinking of the gospel. But if you're not walking in good works, you have to ask yourself, have I been saved? Now, I'm not talking about perfection here. Okay, let me... help me. Okay, I'm not talking about perfection here. Okay, can you guys see that? So this is a newer rendition. We have old man, new man. Okay, Romans 7. See, in the middle, there's that overlap. That's the Christian. Okay, the blue in there. We have old man, new man. As you think on the gospel and you believe the gospel, the blue signifies good works. So that's how you walk in the good works. Before you couldn't, now you can. How do you do it? Hearing the gospel, preaching the gospel to yourself, and believing the gospel by grace. Remembering who you were. Remembering what Christ has done for you. Remembering the immeasurable greatness of God's power that is at work within you. Not just a great power to save you, but a great power to enable you to walk in good works. You couldn't walk in good works before. How do you walk in good works now? By God's power. Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel is the what? The power of God that brings deliverance. For by grace you are being delivered. You see how I link this together? So how do you walk in good works? How are you delivered from pornography? How are you delivered from gossip? How are you delivered from all those sins which beset you and cause you to stumble in Hebrews 12? How do you do that, Christian? By believing that God has given you power to in the gospel by walking in the Spirit. What's the food of the Spirit? Not the fruit. What's the food of the Spirit? The gospel. And then the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, all those. So I know I keep banging the same drum, but this is the same drum I need to hear every day. When I wake up tomorrow, pastors sometimes get what you call the Monday morning blues. I need the gospel as much on Monday morning than I do on Sunday when I'm preaching it. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of pastors on Mondays, that's their roughest day. So be very gentle when you critique them. Wait till Tuesday or Wednesday. No, I'm serious. Pastors are sinners too. Beanie just writes that down and underlines it. Pastors need the gospel too. Pastors need to remind themselves that my identity is in Christ. And that when I'm counseling people, I tell them there is great hope for you because of the power of the gospel. If it were up to you, there would be no hope. Right? When I'm counseling people who are struggling with all kinds of sins, Christians, there's hope for you. And let's pray now, Ephesians 1, that you would remember the hope of God's call on your life. What is the call? God's going to make you holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined you to be holy and blameless. That's hope. If He predestined you to be holy and blameless, will you be holy and blameless? Yes, by grace. Will He give you power to become holy and blameless? Yes, because He promises it. Does God care about you? Yes, you are His inheritance. See how I'm linking chapter 2 to chapter 1? It's beautiful. Okay, so pitfall number 1 is what we call legalism. Okay, you are not saved by works. If you were saved by works, what would be the result? When you stood before the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, and He said, Tony, why should I let you... Where did Tony go? Oh, yeah, you're moving. Keeping it real. Tony, why should I let you in?
Did a lot of good stuff.
And Tony's neighbor comes in. Well, why are you not getting in? I guess I didn't do a lot of good stuff. Has Tony reason to boast? Yeah, Tony got in because he's better. Will God share His glory with another? No. Isaiah 42, Isaiah 48, Ephesians 1. We're saved to be to the praise of His glory. Okay, so that's pitfall number 1. When you're sharing the gospel, please tell people. Remind them. You think it's common sense, and sometimes all we do is hang around Christians, and we all believe that most of the world walk around thinking that if there is a God, and He does let them in, it will be because they're not a bad person. That's damnable. Satan loves when people believe that. That's one of the lies of the world. When it says that they follow the course of the world, that is worldly philosophies that Colossians 2 said are damnable and dangerous. Please burst that bubble of theirs graciously and say, no, by works of the flesh shall no man be justified. Otherwise, there would be boasting. 1 Corinthians 1, Romans 4, Romans 11, Ephesians 2, 10. God saves unilaterally by grace through faith, so He alone might get the glory. Okay? If you want to share some glory, get out of this church, because we're going to preach Christ alone gets glory here. So you're going to be very uncomfortable. If you want glory for yourself, you want to share God's glory, you're not going to feel good in this church. Okay? There's plenty of other churches that will stroke your mane and tell you how good you are, even though the Bible says that you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, naked, and need Christ to save you from that. Okay? So that's the first pitfall, that we're saved by works. What's the second pitfall, which we see so rampant in quote-unquote evangelical Christianity in North America? Legalism's the first. The second is
licentiousness.
Right? And that's what people say. Oh, well, if I'm not saved by being a good person, then I'll just ask Jesus into my heart and live the way I want to. And Paul, he answers that here in verse 10. No, you're saved for good works. You're not saved to live in sin. Right? He says in chapter 4, have you learned Jesus Christ properly? Because if you think you're saved to live in sin, you've missed the gospel. You've created a different Jesus. That's idolatry. Right? We've been recreated, he says in chapter 4, in the image of God in true righteousness and true holiness, not in true sinfulness. We don't say, let us sin that grace might abound. Okay, so that's the other bauble we have to graciously pop. Because I've met so many people that do so much disservice to the kingdom of Jesus Christ who call themselves Christians. And they walk, they follow the course of the world, they follow the prince of the power of the air, they live out the passions of the flesh. There's no fight. They raised their hand, got dunked, and they think they're all good with Jesus now, even though they blaspheme him every day. Okay, so Paul's correcting that in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. Grace through faith, but the faith that saves is not alone. Right? The faith always has a caboose with it, and it brings with it good works. Okay, so let's just work through the text quickly. For we are his workmanship. Okay, any other translations? It's a good translation. I translate that creation, and then in brackets I put recreation, because I think that's what Paul's saying. We are God's new creation. Okay, that's why we're saved by grace through faith, because we're God's new creation. In Genesis chapter 1, God spoke everything into existence by the power of his word. Did the light say, wait, my free will here? Right? Did the clay that God made Adam out of say, wait, this is not fair. You got to ask me first if you want to fashion me and form me into a man. Why are we saved by grace? Because salvation is recreation. You guys see that, right? Regeneration, recreation. Right? When a baby is created, did that baby have any will in that matter? No, that baby, as it were, is created by grace, by the decision of people outside of itself. People who existed before that baby even did. Okay, so since God recreates us, salvation has to be by grace. I just keep hammering regeneration. You're going to be sick of it. But the doctrine of regeneration is exactly what Paul is saying is the reason why we're saved by grace. He gave us life together. He quickened us, the King James. Or he made us alive together in Christ. Verse 5. Verse 10, he recreated us. I think he's saying the exact same thing. Right? Verse 5, he quickened you. He regenerated you. You're saved by grace. Verse 10, he recreated you. Verse 8, you're saved by grace. Okay, so please see that. That this is, everyone know what monergism means? Mono, one. Ergo, work. One working in salvation. All of a sudden, you're made alive when the gospel is preached to you. Okay, so we are his workmanship. Or you could say we are his creation. Or as I would say, we are his recreation. And I was thinking it's kind of a funny little pun. Christians get recreation or recreation all wrong. Oh, get it? You think that being a Christian is sitting on a hammock, taking it easy? No, recreation is not recreation. He recreates us for good works. He doesn't recreate us for recreation so we can sit around and do nothing. Okay, so we are his, literally in the Greek, his. We are creation. Okay? Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay? Not for good theology necessarily, but for good works which flow out of good theology. Okay? Which God prepared beforehand. This is God's purpose. Chapter 1, he elected you. Chapter 2, he elected you to do good works. So if you're not doing good works,
in chapter 2. Do you have reason to say that you've been elected in chapter 1? I would say question it. 2 Corinthians 3, you need to test to see if you're a true Christian or not. Examine yourselves. See if you're in the faith. Jesus says that an apple tree will bear what? Apples. So Christians should be bearing Christian fruit. Christians should be bearing good works. And this is the danger. Sometimes we just think we have a good theology. Okay, so it says that God prepared that his elect people would walk in good works. Why? Let me give you a verse out of Matthew and then I'm going to explain why. Okay, Matthew 5:16, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. He says earlier that, you know, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the broken. Blessed are this, the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then he says this in Matthew 5:16. He says, let your light in this way shine before men. Let them see your good works. Why? So they might glorify God. Okay, do you see the link? Okay, God just doesn't want us to be doing good works. He wants us to be doing good works that bring him glory. God predestined us that we would bring him glory. How do we bring God glory in this life? Practically speaking, how do we bring God good works? Not by sitting around and talking about theology per se. That's not bad, but I'm just saying in our circles, we think it's enough. And so I was thinking, when you get together in your community groups today, please don't regurgitate the sermon. You know what I want the community groups to do this afternoon? Plan good works for the glory of God in Christ. How can we bless people in the church? How can we bless this neighborhood with the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't care if you say, well, the Greek word really means creation and not recreation, and Ryan's exegeting. I don't want you to sit around and to diagram this. I did that all this week. And my goal is not to inform you. My goal is to plead with you to say, this is what Christ saves us for. To actually shine his light in this world, to be salt in this world. What does salt do? It prevents rot. It also adds flavor. That's why God saves us. To go out into this world, this dark, dark world, with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel, but also living the gospel. Walking in a manner worthy of the gospel, Philippians 1:27. Walking in a manner worthy of the hope to which we've been called, Ephesians chapter 4, verse, 2. Okay, so I really want you to be praying now. God, get me past theology into the realm of walking in the gospel. Sometimes I think we just think it's enough to think. We're in this church, I'm using big fancy words. If it just ends here, it's almost for naught. If I've just made you smarter, God's not made you smarter to listen to a pastor in a comfortable Christian setting. He's elected and saved you to walk, to make your lifestyle good works, to walk in love, to walk in selflessness towards your brothers, but also to the world. This is what God prepared beforehand. This was God's great plan in Genesis. That God would fill the earth with his glory as his people lived lives of love. They sinned and they can no longer do so in their own strength, so he sends Christ into the world to restore all things, to unite all things, to head up all things under himself. Okay, and so this is what the church, if we want to see our church be a blessing, if we want to see our church living in the purposes for which God made us, it's not just going to be us sitting around talking about theology, which is not bad. But after we're done with theology, we should say, now what? In light of Ephesians 2:10, now what? Okay, so my first thing was saying that Ephesians 2:10, it closes verses 8, 9, and 10. 8, 9, and 10 says, you're saved by grace through faith. Okay, so verse 10 says, how do we know we're saved by grace through faith? God regenerates us. It has to be by grace. Right? Carissa, when she was born, she's not like, yeah, now I think I'll bake myself. No, she just was born. Krista was born, as it were, by grace. Okay, so that's the first reason there's verse 10. It gives another evidence to why salvation is solely of God's unilateral grace. He regenerates us. He recreates us. Okay, second, it closes verses 1 to 10. An inclusio. Walking in verse 2, walking in verse 10. Okay, so God saves us from walking in this world so that we might walk in Christ. You see that? Everybody walks. Everybody lives. But God's grace is demonstrated not only in saving us from our sin, but also His grace is demonstrating in enabling us to walk in His grace. Okay? Are you walking in sin or are you walking in grace? That's what Paul's saying. God saves you not just to have your ticket out of hell. God saved you to be walking in that circle, in the realm of Christ. You're created in Christ, in that circle. How do you walk in good works? Believing the power of the gospel, saying, God, if you save me for this, right? It's Augustine. Command what you will what you command. God says, Mark, walk in good works. Has God done everything necessary for you to walk in good works, Mark? Now you just need to believe that. Everyone here will say, yes, God has equipped us for good works. You need to believe that. It needs to get from here to here. Because we can talk all day long about things, but if we don't do good works, you know what it says to me? When I don't do good works, you know what really I'm saying to you? I don't believe the power of the gospel to enable me to share the gospel with my neighbor. I don't believe the power of the gospel to take money that I have worked hard for and to give it to someone else. I actually don't believe that Christ is enough. I actually don't believe that Christ raised me from the dead and the power of pornography has been severed. And I just need to believe that and fight by faith. Right? That's what we're saying. When we give in, it's because of unbelief. So believe the gospel. You will be saved. You will be being saved. You will be being delivered. Okay? And the third thing I said is it's preparing us for all of the commands of chapters 4, 5, and 6. Okay? So it reminds us, yes, we're saved by grace. It reminds us that this grace that saves us, this grace also empowers us. This is God's purpose. Okay? Some of you are miserable because you're not walking in God's purpose. He didn't save us so we could sit around and watch YouTube all day. He saved us that we might shine His light to the ends of the world, that we might be salt and light. Right? Exodus 19. God unilaterally, by grace, saves the Hebrews, Israel, out of Egypt. Right? This is all my doing. Now just take her easy. Exodus 20. Here are some commands. And as you walk in these commands, you will be a blessing to the nations. You will be a light to the nations if, Exodus 19, 5 and 6, if you obey them. So Grace Community, how are we going to be a light to the nations? Not by knowing simply the gospel, by walking in it, by living it out, by believing in it. The faith that saves is not alone. It's not a single faith. It's married to works. So I want to challenge us. I really do. I struggle in this. I think just reading fat books is my righteousness. No, Jesus is. But since Jesus came into the world to save me, and you, now I go and I tell others. And I tell them with good deeds too. Okay? And then the third thing is it's setting us up. Can you walk in love? Can you? If you're a Christian, can you walk in love? Who said that? Oh, no, we can walk in love. I thought it was one of the people in the church. I was going to dish out a dirty rebuke. We can walk in love. Can we walk in a manner worthy of the hope to which we have been called? Yes. Do you believe it? Okay, Paul's going to say, walk, 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 fight. Can you? This is why you say, yeah, I memorized Ephesians 2:10. God elected me for the purpose of walking in good works. Okay? I had a ton of other notes. I need to start using this thing a little better. But I think that's the gist of what I wanted to convey to you. Okay, we're saved not by works, but we're saved for works. Not saved from works, we're saved for works. That's nice, two F's. Okay, so let's avoid the pitfall of saying we're saved by works, but let us also avoid the pitfall of saying we don't need works. Okay? You will know a tree by its fruit. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why would you need to work it out with fear and trembling? Because so many people make such a cheap, light profession of Christianity. And Paul's saying to the believers in Philippi, it's not just something like raising your hand one day. This is heaven and hell. And how do you shine as lights in this world in Philippians 2? Holding fast to the word of life. Holding fast to the life-giving word. Okay, take up the sword of the Spirit. Let's do battle. Okay, there's only one way we're going to do battle for the gospel. Is actually if we enter into the battle. You're not going to need very much of the armor of God if you're not in a fight. Who does Satan usually attack the most? Not slumbering Christians. He likes to just let them sleep. It's the missionaries. It's the people who are actually trailblazing. It's the people who are making a stand for Christ. It's the people like Paul who Satan ruthlessly opposed. Okay? If I'm just sitting here comfortably, if you're just sitting here comfortably next week, I'm not a prophet, but my guess is Satan's probably not going to rouse your feathers too much. He's happy to let Christians walk in the course of the world. He is going to oppose you with all of his might, vehemently, if you start living in the good works for which God prepared beforehand for you. I'm going to just keep rambling. Do you guys at least understand the thrust of what I want? Okay, so as you get together in your home groups, just ask God, how can we live the gospel out? That's a good start. And ask for wisdom. Will God give you wisdom to live out the gospel if you ask for it? He will. It's His will. This is what God saved you for. Okay? This is the new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The former, the old has passed away. Behold, all things are new. You now can live in good works. So live in them. Okay? I think we'll close here there. This is a nice short sermon for you guys to ponder. But I think we'll just stop it there instead of getting in deep into other avenues. And if you have ideas, email me. Right? If you want to reach out, email me. If you want to clean up the community in the name of Christ, I'm not talking social gospel, but I am talking about walking in the good works of the gospel. Okay? And to do so as a church. Oh, that God would sum us up in Christ to do what we are made to do. Otherwise, we're going to just be a bunch of miserable, bickering Christians. You seen churches like that? Have you heard of churches like that? You know which churches usually are the ones that attack each other? The ones that are doing nothing in the world. The churches that are not advancing the gospel, okay? Sometimes we attack churches that aren't as solid in their theology as us. And it's a shame because they're usually so full of joy. They're working together, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And it's churches often, let me just drop the big R, Reformed churches often, just sit on our little ivory towers and we critique everyone and then we critique ourselves and we split and we split and we split and we split, and Satan loves that. Rather than Ephesians 4, right? Striving to maintain the unity of the gospel in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I guarantee that if we're not focused on being lights in this world, we will be like most Reformed churches in Lethbridge. And I'm not taking pot shots, but they're just so inward focused. Christ didn't save us to have theological discussions amongst ourselves ad infinitum. They have their place. Please don't think that. I love theology, but I'm saying theology is not enough. God could have easily written that in Ephesians 2:10. You are His new creation, created in Christ Jesus to critique all other Christians. Not what He says. To strive together for the glory of God in Christ, summing up all things as we live and preach the gospel. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank You for Ephesians 2:10. We can memorize it. We can quote it. God, give us the faith to access your grace to live it. Lord, you've given us grace for doing these good works. You've not left us to our own end. You've not left us powerless. You've given us everything we need for life and godliness. Lord, give us grace to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is you who is working in us both to will and to do your good pleasure. Lord, your good pleasure is for us to walk in good works empowered by the gospel as we believe it. I don't know how much I can repeat it, Lord, but help me to get it. I don't. Help us to get it, Lord, and we will know if we get it if our church is radically transformed. Please don't, Lord, let us just sit around and do nothing. Help us to understand your great purpose in saving us in Christ. Help us to have a big picture. Help us to have a desire to glorify you. Help us to see that we're not glorifying you the way we should when we sit and do nothing. Let us shine as your lights. Let us be your faithful ambassadors. Let us be your heralds. Let us give this world a reason to ask us about the hope that is in us. Father, help us to cry out and ask for grace and faith in that grace this morning, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.